This podcast episode is brought to you by Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions. Contact Mickey Bay, master lash artist, today for the best in mink and synthetic eyelash extensions. You can find Mickey Bay at www.mblashes.com. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Mickey Bay. That's at MIKKIBEY. And also like her on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyBayEyelashExtensions.com.
So what's up, y'all? It's Chris and Casey Lehman here with a weekend roundup, something new that we're trying. We got our boy Merc 80 on the line, and yeah. Cousin Darius is supposed to be calling in as well, but we were looking at some events that have taken place recently and decided it would be a good idea to chop it up about them. And so let's start with Lee Daniels, whose film The Butler is soon to come out. That looks at a black man played by Forrest Whitaker who served as a White House butler, I believe it was over 30 or 40 years, through 6 or 7 presidents or 8 presidents, I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 8.
That opens August 16th, but Daniels was in the news recently for saying, and I quote, "White people can really love us and still call us niggas, especially the ones in the Deep South." And I just wanted to know what everybody thought about that. Is that the truth?
I know he's speaking about it in reference to his movie, but no, it ain't true. I mean, that they gonna love us and still call us that? I mean, if you loved us, you wouldn't. You might be able to tolerate us and work with us and still use the N-word, but to say you actually love us and then basically in the same sentence, degrade us. I'm like, nah, bro. I know you wish that was the case, but nah.
I'm wondering if, you know, I'm trying to give a slight benefit of the doubt that, you know, maybe he was either misquoted or the quote was out of context or they didn't finish his sentence. You know, I'm thinking maybe what he meant is that there can be such a level of entrenched ignorance that white people might say, or Southern white people might say that word and think that it's all good. Because, I mean, I remember there was a girl who I met, this was some years ago when I was in college and I was an RA of a high school program, and this girl was from, like, South Carolina, and she was a white girl, but she was saying how, you know, they say it as, you know, regular things like, you know, oh, who are those niggas over there? Like, whether they're white or black. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't want to do that outside of where you're from. If that's okay there, then okay. But I wouldn't do that if I were you. And, you know, I mean, her explanation of it was as if this is just everyday thing and everyday culture. But, you know, I don't know if he thought that it was, he was saying that it's okay for them to do, or if he says that the mind frame is that, you know, they just feel like it's all good. And, you know, I guess in some regard, there are some people who do think that it's all good, but that doesn't mean that it's all good. So.
Yeah, I know he referenced with the movie and, you know, I think he mentioned Lyndon B. Johnson
and Paula Deen.
So much.
Yeah, he said, for me, he said it was used by President Lyndon B. Johnson against the backdrop of the civil rights movement. He stated that obvious displays of racism can be misleading. This is a quote from Daniels. For me, it was very strategic. When we did use it, it was used later on by Cuba Gooding Jr. as the head butler, making fun of someone that did use it, Lyndon Johnson. It was the sort of the joke. It was sort of the joke that this guy uses it. So when he says it and talks about it, it opens up, like Paula Deen, the concept of white people loving us and really loving us and feeling that it's fine to use the word nigger. That's how Johnson felt. He did something that was incredible for us. That's trying to be taken away from us right now. and yet he used that word just like pass the grits. Racism is a very hard thing to explain, especially in the South.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You guys are going to be surprised at my response. When I was in grad school, I was doing a paper on, and yeah, I'm going to go all the way around and come back. I was doing a paper on William Faulkner. And Faulkner always played with race and light and dark in a lot of his novels. And I was in my professor's office just adamantly arguing at how racist this particular portrayal of a mixed race, it was actually an octoroon woman and her child with a white master. And the book, I was just going on and on and on and on about the racist depictions of black people. And my professor, who was a professor of a lot of African-American literature but was a white man, he said to me, he said, "Kimberly, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I even understand your perspective." He said, "But I don't think you are seeing it. You're not looking at these people as the product of their time period and location." He said, "For you being a child of this generation, of course it looks extremely racist. But if you were to go back 100 years to when this was depicted, even though it comes off extremely racist, this was this people's lifestyle and their time period. Even if it seems hurtful, a lot of times they didn't necessarily mean anything hurtful by it. It was just a part of the milieu." And it, even though I left his office seething, it did make me reflect in regards to the argument that I was trying to make about Faulkner being a racist-ass American writer. And it makes me think about Paula Deen and why she felt it was okay to get on TV after she had been called out for her use of the N-word and say, "I is who I is," and bring some black man in who she quote-unquote loves and told him to get away from the blackboard because couldn't nobody see him. Like,
wow.
That's her reality. That's her world. That's what she's been accustomed to. She's been around black folks who have accepted that. That's been their reality. And I think when we think about the history of black people in this country, we think about the black South especially, and the slaves, and all the black women that raised white children for white mothers, I'm sure those white children love those black women and still refer to them as nigger because they didn't know anything else to call them. Everybody else around them was calling them nigger. I don't want to say, here's the thing, let me come back full circle. I think in 2013, any white person that's calling a black person nigger is not coming from a place of love. It's too far removed at this point.
I feel that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's way too far removed at this point.
Well, I don't know. Some might argue that just the opposite, because there's some places where, you know, they don't get out of their town. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
Florida.
Yeah, I mean, if you're around people who, I guess in 2013, and you're not black, and they're okay with using it in the way that black people use it, where you're just referring to a person or your friend or whatever.
But it's not a race.
But you don't have that, like, it's not, you're not using it as a put down. Okay. Because, I mean, if you, them people are okay with it, then it's always that, hey, you can use it with them. But don't try to say that, well, I used it with these black people, so I guess all black people should be cool with it because you might not like the response.
Right.
I think, with, you know, back then with her and that story, I would say on one end, black people weren't at a position where they could say, you know what, I don't want you to use that word in front of me. You know, with Paula Deen people, I mean, you know, she's referencing her grandfather losing his slaves and how she felt bad for him, and you're like, so the hell what? Oh, he lost his slaves. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. You know, I mean, it's like you grew up, your people probably said it. I don't think the black people around you, you know, at least felt like they had the balls to be like, that's not right. Don't use that. I know your daddy uses it, but I don't think that's appropriate. Because your daddy may come back and be like, why are you telling my daughter what to say and what not to say? You know, they don't have that kind of power. It's still always going to be rooted in its negativity. I don't think it'll ever go away because I do think white folk like using the word, and I think it's more about us not being able to use it, or us being punished for using it versus them, you know, getting rid of the word versus nobody saying it. It's more of like, well, I want you to be, if we can't use it, if we get in trouble for using it, I want you to get in trouble for using it too.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a sticky situation. So,
It's getting pretty good reviews, that's what I can say, so far. It seems like, so, I don't know, maybe in context it'll make more sense, but it's been...
Well, a whole nother conversation that we can have, and I'm going to actually save this for when we have a round table, is all these films that are coming out and the depictions of black folks that are coming out in these particular films. But for our roundup, I'm gonna keep it moving. So the next piece of pop culture news, Lisa Rae McCoy is now vowing to be celibate until she meets the one. Ordinarily, I would not touch this topic at all. But I think
why not?
You said what?
I said why not?
Because normally I don't talk about a lot of stuff that happens with celebrities. I'm realizing, though, one thing that's great about our forum, because I need to tap into it. I think we can actually deal with these topics in an intelligent way. And so this is what we're doing. First of all, I want to say this. I think for 47 years old, Lisa Rae looks amazing. I didn't know she was 7 years old. So she looks great. But she basically said that at this point, she feels it's important to make men work a little harder now to get to her heart, and plans to hold off on having sex until she has something real. She says, I'm in a new place. I've tried everything but celibacy, and I really want to know what it feels like to be touched by someone with a mental touch and not a physical touch. I want to know what it is to build the foundation of the friendship for real, to have my best friend, and not because we're just physically intimate, but because we're mentally intimate. So I'm waiting for that person to come into my life. And I feel like this whole conversation begs the question, can a sex symbol change its stripes or change its spot? Can diamond now get off the pole?
You know, that quote and the whole idea, like, a lot of times when I hear women saying that they're going to be celibate, and a lot of times I hear this coming out of black women, I've never really heard a lot of other women, women of other races say that they're just going completely fast from having sex and being celibate. It's like the question becomes, did you not ever think about this before? You know, I think that we live in a very largely over-sexualized culture, like sexualized in a way of more lust than love. And so a lot of women seemingly start going to these extremes of saying, well, I'm not going to have any sex until I find a guy that, you know, inspires my heart. But the problem with that is, especially when you make that declaration publicly, is that it's very easy to play that role. You know what I'm saying? So you've now pretty much just said what it kind of does in a way is it just allows you to make another excuse. So I can come with candies and flowers and we can have 2-hour-long intellectual discussions, and I can just wait you out. And I can just be, you know, getting with other girls or whatever. And then when it comes time that you say, oh, I've been, you know, I think I've found a person that really, you know, it touches my mind and my heart and my soul, you know, I mean, doesn't seem to be saying she wants to be married first. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess she's kind of implying that, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, you know, what do you really want? And, you know, I guess the other part of it is, can a, you know, vixen change his stripes or whatever have you? Sure, I think anybody can change, you know. But the question is, to me, is like the sincerity and the resolve that she really has in it has to come from something a little bit more than just saying, well, I'm just not going to have sex. Like, you know, you're not going to have sex. I mean, maybe there's more hoops within it. But again, like I said, a lot of that is very easy to, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to avoid not getting played. You know what I mean?
Right. She said, when men meet me, they're in awe of the image. I'm so turned off by that. Automatically, I'm like, boy, move. You know what I mean? Lisa Ray said before listing off all the qualities she has that some men aren't bothering to look for because they're so stunned by her beauty. Now, you're not going to give me a real chance because you're like, you do look good in person. It's like, okay, how many times can I thank you? But you don't know I can be a great friend. You don't know I can cook. You don't know that I'm a nurturer. You don't know that I prefer to stay at home and watch a movie and pop my own popcorn. I want someone to know me, to learn me. I want to start dating the man that I'm going to marry. I want to start having fun with someone that I know I'm going to be with. I don't play any games. I'm too old for that. I've been there. I've been around the block.
Again, you know, okay, so she wants to get married. Okay, cool. I mean, I guess she's run into a lot of situations where, you know, and I think that this is a much bigger problem that I think a lot of women face in terms of guys trying to pursue them and conquer them and to say that they hit it rather than, you know, wife them up. And, you know, I mean, you know, there's probably two sides of the story. I mean, she's probably a wonderful woman. And, you know, there have been a lot of debates and discussions I've gotten into with other guys where I've felt kind of like the odd man out in the discussion because, you know, Dustin Hoffman was saying in something recently, this kind of meme that's been going around that he had to play a woman in that movie Tootsie or whatever.
Right.
And when they had to make him up, they were like, you know, this is the most attractive that we can make you. And he said that it really bothered him because he started to realize that there were a lot of women that he was only really interacting with based upon how attractive they were. And so even though his character he felt was a wonderful person and a wonderful woman, a lot of people weren't probably going to really take this character too seriously because she didn't look as good as other women. So he started saying, you know, there's probably all kinds of great women in my life that I've missed out on knowing as just good people and good minds simply because I didn't think that they were attractive.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, I have heard a lot of good-looking women say that it's very hard for them to meet someone to really date because the people or men aren't really paying attention to them and paying attention to how they look.
Yeah.
Or, you know, as a trophy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess I can't say that that's a good problem to have necessarily, but, you know, it is unfair, but, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of beautiful people, period, because I think even really attractive men, although they would deal with the situation much differently, probably have the same challenges that really attractive women have, you know, in terms of people kind of fawning over them and staring at them and not, like, giving them, like, not really paying attention to who they are.
Right.
I remember kind of having this conversation with a guy when I was in college, a football player. His name was Vi. Shout out to Vi if he's actually listening. And Vi looked like The Rock before The Rock was real popular. And I'll never forget, we were walking to class one day, and I was asking him about his plans after college. And he said, you really want to know all of this? Like, you're really interested in what I have to say about, like, my life? And I was like, yeah, I'm curious. Like, what do you want to do? And he tripped out. And so I think that happens to beautiful people all over. I think Cousin Darius just joined the line. Is that you, Cuz?
Yeah, that's me. I figured it out.
Oh, okay. So here's another question, because Chris and I were talking about this earlier. I think another challenge that Lisa Ray might have, too, is just because of how she came on the scene to us.
Right.
She might be the most popular film stripper of all cinematic history. If you allow yourself to be objectified, can you fault anybody else for then objectifying you? And then can it ever stop?
Well, I mean, that's the thing that I think a lot of actors and actresses and all them kind of get into is, you know, being typecasted and then their public image. I mean, yeah, the first thing we saw her in was being a stripper. And then really, like, every role that I can think of she's had since then has been some kind of seductress type thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't really know what else there is to say. And, I mean, I think that that's kind of the pitfall, I guess, of her, you know, her industry and maybe of her looks and whatnot. But I feel like there is a way to try to hopefully cut that in your private life, maybe. You know, I mean, I don't know what she's like in her private life. I never did see the, you know, the reality show and whatnot. But I feel like...
I saw it, man. I saw it. She's just a leech. That's all really? She is.
Well, there it is then.
Yeah, straight up leech. I mean, she dated Al Sharpton, for Christ's sake.
You know, and look, see, like, I'm not trying to pass judgment, but let's add some things up here. You've been
I think in every situation she's been in terms of relationships, she's been, she's not been the money earner or contributor. She's kind of there. I guess she's playing the supporting role.
Well, yeah.
You know, even when she was the princess of an island or whatever she was, you know, what was she bringing to the table?
Well, apparently she was bringing nurturing and popping popcorn and being nice, I guess, to the table. I don't know.
Some of that was being them quotes. I'm like, you know what? I mean, I read on here where she's trying to say, I am a woman. I need a man, not a boy. I don't want to be a teacher. I'm not trying to be your mother. I want to be a significant other. Like, it's not if the guy doesn't know that you don't want to stay home and cook, what dude is going to be like, yeah, I want to spend $200 out with your ass, and if you're going to tell me, well, I'd rather just stay home and cook. There's a guy, all the guys you dated are going to be like, nah, forget all that. Let's go out.
That's I just think this sense of entitlement, you know, comes with so many people who have had the privilege of getting the taste of the life, you know, and let's be real, she has not had any star roles, so I really don't understand how she supports herself, you know, outside of residuals from Players Club.
Nah, I think she likes dating wealthy dudes. I think her character, as she plays a single lady, is very similar to her in real life. I mean, watching that show every damn episode, she got two or three ass shots. Like, every episode, somebody's complimenting on how she look. And I'm like, you were clearly okay with that. You could have told them, don't do that, you know.
Right.
Every once in a while is fine, but I don't want you to do this every episode.
I don't think she had that kind of creative control over the show. You know, I think they pretty much tell you, you know, this is the show, we're going to agree to it, but under these terms. Now, she might have been playing the star role, but I seriously doubt that she had creative control.
Look, I'm gonna just say this real quick, and maybe I'll get burned at the stake for this later. just to keep it all the way real, as good as Lisa Rae looks and as good as a lot of women look, and I hear a lot of women kind of say these things of what they want and what they have, that they feel like they have certain things to bring to the table, and they kind of don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are in your late 40s and you look good and you have all these things, it's like you don't – I mean, she didn't say anything about – I mean, not saying that all of these are the end-all, be-all, but I don't hear anything about her talking about liking politics or she has a degree or, you know, what she can do that any other basic woman can do. You know what I'm saying? So if you're looking for a person that's for you, then that has to be on a – bigger spiritual level, and not having sex is not just the only thing that's going, you know, suddenly make that appear. I think that every woman that is strikingly good looking that finds themselves single should ask themselves, like, do I really have anything else to bring to the table? And am I really, you know, not to say that in a sense of being insecure, but, you know, you should really ask yourself, well, like, maybe I need to step my game up. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But if she's getting a lot of B-rolls, you know.
Well, I think you and I are on the same page. you're saying the same thing I'm trying to say.
All right, well.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about when I say this sense of entitlement. You know, they feel they're deserving of something, but in exchange, what are they giving, you know, aside
right.
from the poontang, you know, which fortunately and unfortunately all women have, you know, now.
Nope.
Maybe Lisa Rae just putting it down like that because she turned Noah Jones out, too, from what I hear.
What?
Who?
Noel Jones.
Noel Jones, yeah.
Noel Jones.
Somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Well, hey, you know.
But me personally, I just could not be serious with or about a woman who's had so much public exposure with other men. You know,
right.
And been in the, it's hard enough knowing about other men, but to constantly have to live with a reminder that you've been with other men and sexually, and you know, I'm cool.
So Kim Kardashian for you, huh?
No. I mean, now don't get it wrong. We can go in the back room, but I'm not sporting anything like that.
All right. Well, there it is.
No, it's hard for women like that. But I mean, come on. If at this point you got to understand, you know what the game about. I mean, I'm in there with
you. You know it's a game.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the game. In a relationship, I'm not talking about playing games.
True.
You know, you're right. That is the game. And if that's the game you want to play, you want to be a player, you want to jump from this woman to that woman, then that might be cool for you. You know, you just see how many notches you can get on your belt. If that's what you're trying to do, then Lisa Ray or Kim Kardashian or Janet Jackson or even Holly Berry for that purpose. You know, they might be something you could take down, but I'm not trying to. Those women lack character for one.
No, that makes sense because, I mean, if you were an attractive woman and you're basically giving me that image of look at me, look what I have. You know, at some point, if a guy really likes you, he's gonna want to see more than that. You know, if you're talking about I'm a nurturer, you know, like. If there's a guy who really likes you, how does he not know that? Are you not showing that? Are you just presenting trying to get in your personality?
What kills relationships is the rush into a physical exchange, you know, and the visual, it leads to the physical, and then once you get overwhelmed by the desires of the flesh, I mean, everything else takes a back seat. But once and then you settle into a relationship and realize, bam, she's fly, she got a body, but she doesn't have anything upstairs. You know, I mean, no stimulating conversation.
No thought invoking words.
It's like, okay, where are we going to dinner tonight?
Well, she wants to stay in and cook.
Which
in and of itself might kind of say to me that you might be kind of boring. You might be kind of boring. I figured out quick. If you don't like, you know, at least going out sometimes like I do, then you might be kind of boring.
Like you're saying, who wants to stay in and cook?
This is something that Lisa Ray said that she, you know, sometimes she doesn't know.
Let me just make this analogy. When a car gets so many miles on it, it is time to park it, you know, and that's just symbolic of what she wants to do. Yeah, she's probably tired of, you know, of being a piece of meat.
No,
but she's played out, man.
Well.